You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Patrick.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I don't want to be an elitist here. I want to be a man of the people.
Hosted by Ham and Eggs hero, Dan Patrick. Ham and Eggs, Eggs and Ham, DP, the approachable man. Podcast, listen, hear, and see.
I'm just an everyday guy.
Ham and Eggs.
That's me.
DP.
Bring in Reggie Miller, who joins us from the bubble. How much concern do you have with the Lakers?
The game of basketball, it's not a light switch. You can't turn it on and turn it off. I like to see a team having a rhythm and playing well. We have not seen that from the Lakers. Is it concerning? Yes. Remember, these teams playing, every game has been a playoff game for them.
Do you think the NBA adopts this play-in scenario as we move forward? We're seeing
in the West. Oh, I like
that. Okay.
You got to play yourself in. It gives teams an actual shot of competing.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Final hour on this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll talk to the chief medical officer with the NCAA about why are certain conferences playing football and then the Big Ten and Pac-12 are not. And former Ohio State Buckeye Chris Spielman will join us coming up here in a moment. These days, plenty of quarterbacks have impressive stats, but I want to share with you some numbers on Washington quarterback Alex Smith. He spent 3 months in a wheelchair, 8 months in an elaborate leg brace. He had 17 surgeries in 9 months. He broke his fibula and tibia in a game in November of 2018. Afterwards, suffered an infection. They didn't know if they could save his life. On Sunday, the team announced that Alex Smith will be activated off the physically unable to perform list. And we celebrate athletes. We celebrate quarterbacks for their talent. But, man, the work ethic, the mental strength. Just imagine, if you've had one surgery, he had 17 surgeries in a span of 9 months. I don't know if he plays again. If he doesn't, I hope that they give him an opportunity to go out and take a ceremonial snap and take a knee. But, man, we celebrate a lot, but this is worth celebrating. Alex Smith, to come back like he has. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. McLovin, the poll question?
Okay, so hour two was, which is the third most exciting NBA series, with the Clippers and Lakers being off the board? It's a runaway. It's the Rockets-Thunder, yeah. As you said.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, Todd, you're...
Mr. Chris Spielman just called in for you.
Oh, okay. Well, there he is. Chris Spielman, the former Ohio State All-American linebacker and great Detroit Lion. Chris, good to visit with you.
Hi, Dan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. At our morning meeting, we were wondering about what is the atmosphere, that feeling around Ohio State football. Justin Fields putting out this petition. Like the last 2 weeks there, how would you sum up just the feeling you get from your callers to your show or just fans you run into?
Well, I think it's like everywhere around the country. I think one thing about football, it's galvanizing, especially in the state of Ohio. And I think everybody understands the risk of COVID. And I think the big concern is, and what I think Justin wants and what most of the parents want, is that they want the right to choose at the most. And at the very least, give us a reason or give them a reason why they can't play moving forward. I think that's an obligation of the Big Ten.
But why is it that the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 are playing and the Big Ten is not?
Well, I think there's a diversity of opinion on the medical situation and myocarditis. And, you know, you have a doctor from the University of Michigan come out who's and part of it and said that myocarditis has been around for years. And I'll give you the perfect example of how maybe these kids would be a little bit safer. I'm assuming you talked about Cameron Smith, the linebacker of the Minnesota Vikings, who had COVID. They went and got his heart checked, and they found out that he needed life-saving surgery, quite frankly. And that was all because he got his heart checked, and it had nothing to do with COVID or COVID symptoms. But I think if you go about that protocol, what's going to happen is maybe you'll be able to find some heart issues that some kids may have that otherwise would have went undiagnosed.
What would you ask the commissioner of the Big Ten?
Why? I mean, I have a daughter, Dan, that's a basketball player at BG at Bowling Green, for those of you not from Ohio that don't know where BG is. And, you know, so I understand the players' concerns. So if they would cancel my daughter's season, the one question, okay, give me the reason why. And why did it change over a 5-day period? And we at least, at the very least, need to know why. And then I also think from my perspective, coming from a parent's point of view, as a player, it's obvious I'd want to play. But coming from a parent, if you're going to make this decision, then tell me why. Because all of a sudden, it's going to affect a lot of kids' futures. Because you think about it, players that go into this that have dreams, and everybody that goes to Ohio State thinks they're an NFL player. I think you'd agree with that.
Yeah.
So you're eliminating the undraftable kid to becoming draftable. You're eliminating the seventh round kid to become a third round kid, or in Joe Burrow's case, the fifth round kid become a first round kid. That's just a small part of it, but that's a part of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out, and that's why we're going to have the NCAA's chief medical officer on, because I don't think he has any jurisdiction over the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12 to play football. And I have said this to a couple of coaches we've had on. Why can't I get the medical people with the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 on with the medical people of the Big 10 and Pac-12? And let's just talk. Do it a Zoom call. Let us, you know, listen in and understand the transparency, if there is transparency with this, so we understand what one conference is doing and what another conference is not doing.
So that would require strong leadership, in my opinion. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here. I'm just saying somebody has to stand up and take the lead. Can the kids get COVID playing football? Absolutely, 100% yes. Can the kids get COVID not playing football? Absolutely, 100% yes. And so the question I would ask if I were a parent, or again, if I were leading, I would say, we are opening up the schools. Ohio State's going to have 40,000 students check in. Do they have to sign a waiver? I mean, what are we doing here? Somebody's got to get together. They have to assume control and come to a consensus. And until you do that, you're going to have everybody playing by their own separate rules.
He's Chris Spielman, the NFL analyst with Fox Sports, former NFL great, and certainly played at Ohio State. What's your favorite NFL memory that you'll tell your grandkids?
Well, probably it kind of goes together. The first preseason game I played was in Cleveland, and Daryl Rogers, long forgotten name, but a very good man, was the head coach of the Lions who drafted me, came into the team meeting afterward, and he said to me, "Where's Spielman?" This is how he started the meeting. That was the absolute worst performance I've ever seen out of a linebacker. I can't believe we drafted you in the second round. You look like a blind dog in a butcher shop. You had no idea what you're doing. You're running around crazy. So that whole week, my coach came up to me and said, "We're starting you in the second preseason game." In the second preseason game, before the game, I remember saying to myself, "This is your destiny. It's now or never. Either you're going to be a player or you're not." I went out and played well, and kind of the rest is history. So I know that's not a very exciting moment, but for me, it was life-changing, and it set my destiny and my future from then on, moving forward.
And you also got to play with Barry Sanders.
Right.
Yeah, that I'm sure was...
You want a story? Can I give you a quick story about Barry?
Absolutely.
First, third day that Barry reported to camp, he was late. He ran the ball. We had a full pads practice. I went up and hit Barry Sanders. And you remember Wayne Thann used to drive around in that golf cart and smoke the cigar? Well, you know, Wayne's from Canton. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I'm from Canton, Massillon area. And Wayne comes up with a cigar in his golf cart. And he comes up and says, "Chris, I played against your dad. I've known your dad for 30 years. I love you. I love you like a son. But I got to tell you, if you hit Barry again, I'm going to put your ass on the bus back to Canton in no time." "Message received, coach. Hands off Barry. I got it."
Yeah, normally it's hands off the quarterback. But this not that you could really put your hands on Barry. Like, I've never seen somebody make so many people miss of all the running back. Maybe you played against somebody.
I did play against him in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And the only reason I got a good shot on him, but the only reason why was that he never saw me. Now, if he saw you, he had no shot. He had no chance. I'm serious. So it's just amazing what he was able to do. In my mind, of course, I'm biased, but I think in a lot of people's mind, the best ever.
I saw, did you put up your Big Ten championship ring for auction?
I put two of them up for auction for COVID relief. So Bruce Hooley and I do a podcast together. And I thought, you know, God has given me a position to do something. And so my goal was the number 40 is biblical in a way. And so I raised $40,000 to give away $1,000 for 40 weeks, and that will end in January. So we draw four names out of a hat every week. We give $250 away to four different people who are nominated. And so it's just my way of doing something. I've been given a platform, and whether it's for breast cancer research in honor of my late wife or COVID relief, or we just had a big fundraiser for ALS where we raised $50,000 for my teammate, William White, at Ohio State in Detroit. I have an obligation to give back, and it's something that I take seriously. And, you know, it's a lesson that I try to teach my family is what you give will grow and what you keep you lose. So I try to give it away as much as I can.
And I know you miss Stephanie, but, you know, she was such a strong woman.
Yeah. I got remarried to a Youngstown girl, and it's interesting. I mean, if I can say this or not, but, you know, it's interesting that I thought I would never get remarried. And it's interesting about the concept of grace that the only way I could love another woman, if it would be that, was totally different. So I married a Youngstown girl. I can't get off the Northeast Ohio chicks. There's something about them to me. But they're just tough as hell, Dan. I mean, but I was able to love again, but it's totally different. I don't know if that makes sense, but widowers in my position who've remarried understand exactly what I'm talking about.
It's great to talk to you. How are the buys and tries there?
I'm in the weight room now, man. Remember, I got my jersey of Eric Andelsek. Remember him? He's my teammate that was killed tragically by a drunk driver. So that's about one of the two jerseys I have hanging up in this weight room. And it's just to honor him. So it's going great, man. I can't complain. I try to work out and exercise and eat healthy and control as much of my destiny as I can.
Tell Bruce we said hello. Great to talk to you again, Chris. Thank
you. Got it, brother.
All right.
God bless you. Thank you.
That's Chris Spielman. Chris was on the cover of Wheaties Box when he was in high school. Once again, he was a high school linebacker out of Massillon, Ohio, which at the time was maybe the number one, number two team in the country. Moeller out of Cincinnati was also one of those teams. But he played for Massillon, and he was on a Wheaties Box as a high school senior. And then went to Ohio State. He played with the Lions, Buffalo, and I believe the Cleveland Browns. Played 11 seasons there. And I really enjoyed his wife. You know, she was his first wife. She was a pretty remarkable woman. So Chris, an analyst there for Fox Sports. We'll get some phone calls here. ESPN made the news official today. The Monday Night Football team is Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Louis Riddick. Lisa Salter is the reporter. John Perry is the officiating analyst. They begin with Titans-Broncos, second game of a Monday Night Football doubleheader. I believe it's Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit with the other Monday Night Football game as well. So Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Louis Riddick are going to be in the booth. Yes, McLovin.
Really did him a lot of favors with that Titans-Broncos debut.
Well, wait, that's not
Jags
necessary.
Unavailable? Does Yahoo have the Jags in the morning game? Is that the
not necessary?
I know. You know, that's why when somebody says, how do we improve Monday Night Football? I said, well, start with the schedule. That's why Thursday Night Football, like, how do we improve Thursday Night Football? Start with the schedule. All of a sudden, Fox started getting good games, and we're like, yeah, Thursday Night Football is awesome. You know, Paulie, you lost your title as meanest Danette this morning.
I think it happened.
McLovin has taken the title of meanest Danette.
We've crossed paths. He'll take down anybody.
Man, I don't know where this has come from. I like it. I like when you're getting the heat, not me. Well,
don't worry. I still had that inner Banks joke. So Fritzy is also wearing off on me, unfortunately.
Oh, God. I know. John in Indiana. Hey, John, what's on your mind?
DP, how are you doing today?
Good, sir, John.
I wanted to thank you for the West Point plug after you talked to Coach Monk. And my son, literally, is a 6'9 freshman going to play basketball there and chose to go there over other schools. And ironically, I'm wearing a West Point hat today as you give a nice shout-out. So I think you would love one thing. If you're going to go to a game, if and when it's possible down the road, West Point does an unbelievable thing where they feed the athletes during a home football game. Would love to invite you, and I know that they would love to do a shoot-off with you to see if they can take you down. But I can arrange that with Coach Allen, if that would be sometime down the road when we can get to get to that point. But wanted to thank you for your comments about West Point. And Seton, I have to tell you, you're his guy, and he does love the Danettes. And he just finished this weekend was acceptance day, so he's officially a plebe, and they start class today. So
awesome.
Thank you so much for the plug.
Thank you, John. Yes, and good luck. Yeah, I don't want to go up and put my shooting ability on display because then I might embarrass some of the cadets, and then all of a sudden it'll be bad for morale if, hey, look whose grandfather just came in and he's lighting it up here. I don't want to be the best shooter on the floor. Let me put it that way. But they will call me General Patrick when I leave. And I will make them drop and give me 20. I will.
Maniac.
Yeah.
Out of your mind.
I will. I want you to salute me. All right? Yes, McLovin.
You're the great Santini to all of them.
Yeah. If people understand that reference, Robert Duvall is the great Santini. And he bounces the basketball off his son's head. Because, yes, McLovin.
But I love what you used to talk about, how your kids just weren't even close athletically, so you didn't even bother to go there.
Well, I would go to their sporting events, but I eventually realized that it skips a generation. Athleticism can skip a generation. My grandkids are going to be awesome. But my kids, no, not so much. As athletes. James in Virginia joins us. Hi, James. What do you have for me today?
Oh, good morning, brother. Thank you for taking my call. Happy Monday. We are Washington. Trying to get used to that, but we are Washington, my friend.
Yep.
Quite a few things to touch on real quick, and I'll finish with my best and worst. Man, first with the NBA going on about to kick off, I got the Lakers and the Raptors with the Lakers, man. Actually, I got LeBron against the Raptors with LeBron winning the title. for me, man, my best, well, I say this about Alex Smith. I hope it's all ceremonial with him too, man. I mean, that guy has come back from something that most people don't ever come back from. And as a Washington fan, it's amazing to see his journey, but I hope it's all ceremonial. I don't know how they can put him out there in good conscience. But I'll finish with my best and best, man. My best, it was great watching playoff sports over the weekend, man. There was some great hockey. I'm not the biggest hockey fan, but I do follow it from time to time. And there were some overtime games last night that was amazing to watch. I really enjoyed it. And my lastly, man, I'll leave you with this. I took a nap yesterday, and I woke up rolling over watching a horse race. And there was this name of the horse yesterday, and I couldn't believe it. But I guess when you can buy a horse and you can run them, you can name them what you want. But it was called Chick Dig Money, and that's my favorite name of a horse I ever heard. And a last thing, I look forward to sending in my submission for your next great podcast, man.
Awesome, James.
Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, James. Always love James's enthusiasm. More phone calls coming up. Reggie Miller on the show tomorrow. The great actor Bryan Cranston on Wednesday. Some of the early programming that we'll have for you. We're going to take a break. He's the NFL or the NCAA's chief medical officer. And I don't know what role he has with these schools, these conferences that play and don't play. He has said we shouldn't be playing football, that it doesn't make any sense to be playing football. But is it just all football? Is it all sports? I want to find out exactly what his role is and why aren't we getting these different conferences together? Every time I say that on the show, the guest that we have on goes, well, that's a great idea. Somebody got to take charge of this. Somebody should have taken charge with this. And they should have done this a few weeks ago or a couple of months ago and just said, this is what we're learning. And this is what we hope. If we continue to do this, then we can have sports, football. But it doesn't feel like these conferences are talking to one another. I know the Big Ten and Pac-12 do and did, because that was a joint decision to decide to not play football. SEC, ACC, Big 12. And plus, there are other schools that are playing football. We had Army's head coach on last hour. They're playing. SMU, TCU. You got schools that they're going to be adding games. I don't know how they pull it off. They're going to start first week in September. So we got a couple of weeks before we're going to have college football. We'll come back with the NCAA chief medical doctor. He'll join us coming up next, 20 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Buy Raycon. BuyRaycon.com. Ask for the Everyday E25 earbuds. When you go to the website, just look for the Everyday E25 earbuds. These earbuds start at about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands that you know. These are the best ones. 6 hours of playtime. They have seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass. You'll love the compact design. Nice noise isolating fit. I sound like Baba Booey. Raycon's wireless earbuds, so comfortable, perfect for conference calls, video chats, and binging podcast. And you're going to love them because they're stylish, discreet, no dangling wires or stems. And you've heard me talk about them. They were co-founded by Ray J, Melissa Etheridge, and Cardi B. Swear by them. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. Buyraycon.com/Patrick for 15% off your wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Sneak in a couple of phone calls here, then we'll talk to the NCAA's chief doctor, medical doctor, Brian Hainlein. He had some comments yesterday. Saw those on CNN where he talked about we're not in a place today where we can safely play sports. Return of students could be, quote, the downfall. In fact, let's go to the doc who joins us now. The NCAA's chief medical officer, clinical professor of neurology at Indiana University School of Medicine. Doc, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Help me understand those quotes when you came up with that bottom line. Is this all sports that we can't safely play sports and the students come back would be the downfall?
Well, it was a reference to playing sports today, yes. If we look at the current environment, the national environment, and especially where we're testing, our testing paradigm and contact tracing, it's not good today. And what we don't know is once the students start resocializing in the dorms and what that brings to a college community, we have to be able to understand that. So it was really speaking about the moment.
But then you see where the Big 12 and the ACC and SEC are playing football. How is that possible?
Well, so what's happened is that they've decided to postpone and not make a decision yet. So the way the NCAA works, and it's not such a straightforward organization because it's a representative democracy, as you probably know. So the Autonomy 5 schools, really the FBS schools, they control the college football championship. And so they have to adhere to mandates that the NCAA put out because the NCAA does oversee what happens with the student athletes. So we've been working, actually, I was a part of the member of the Autonomy 5 Medical Advisory Panel. Their guidelines are the exact same as ours. We put out the mandates. But independently, the Big Ten made a decision separate from the other four. Then the Pac-12 made a decision separate from the other four. And then the three other conferences said, well, we're postponing making a decision. So but when they make a decision, it must follow the mandates that are in the third document that we put out. We put out three documents over the last 2.5 months that have guided how the membership can return to sport.
But if you're saying that we can't have football, we can't have sports, we can't safely play sports, and the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 go ahead, what happens?
Well, again, my reference was at the moment. I was really making a particular point about what's been happening with testing in this country, the fact that we don't have national oversight. A month from now, when they're contemplating possibly beginning their schedule, we'll see where we are. But they have to follow the mandates in place. And so that would set up a confrontation if the mandates aren't being followed.
What do you mean confrontation?
Well, on the one hand, the Board of Governors, which is the most powerful committee of the NCAA, they've said every school must follow these mandates. And so all of the conferences, all of the individual schools must follow that. And so, you know, that what the confrontation would be. And, you know, I can't predict what would happen with that, but that's where things have been laid out.
What's the most important part of this testing on a daily basis for these athletes?
Well, you know, testing is just one part of it. The most important aspect of what can happen is how athletes and everyone else behave. Because you can be tested 5 times a day. But if you're engaged in risky behavior, either on the field or off the field, it doesn't matter. But the one thing that testing allows, and especially if you have rapid turnaround, is you can immediately isolate those who have tested positive. You can immediately quarantine those who were in a very high risk contact. And so that's a paradigm that really could make sense for this country. It actually would be as effective as a vaccine if we did it right. But right now, where we are in this country, we still have a national shortage of the reagent for the standard test, PCR. And in many parts of the country, it's taking 7 to 10 days. That's essentially a worthless test.
Where are we on the vaccine? Feels like there's at least a window of opportunity here.
Well, there may be. It's interesting. I was on a conference call the other day with Dr. Carlos Del Rio from Emory, who's pretty world-renowned and understanding these issues. And for the first time, he expressed some cautious optimism that we may have a vaccine rollout sometime in March or April. And again, the rollout, it takes time because, you know, it means that you first work with those that are really essential workers. We have to decide who that is, define that. It's really, you know, our medical workers, the police, but also those who are working in supermarkets and doing essential jobs. But it would be a rollout over many months if we reach that time.
And Doc, I was wondering about this, and I know you mentioned this with students coming back on campus. It feels like the athlete is safer on campus, given all the testing, than if they were back home or, you know, in the general population there on campus. But now you bring that general population in, and just the exposure and the nature of being a college student, I don't know how this happens. I don't know how we pull this off. I really don't.
Well, you're not alone in that thought. So, but you look at some schools, for example, University of Kentucky, they just have a marvelous plan, which they essentially created a semi-permeable, almost a real bubble effect with how they're working with their entire population of students, student athletes, all of the other stakeholders, the teachers, the maintenance staff, you know, and so that's one model. But the other model is, okay, what happens to the athletes? I think for the 4 hours a day that the schools are with them, yeah, they can control their behavior. But the other 20 hours, it's an unknown. And so, you know, what does it mean to be a college kid and being in a dormitory? And that could be a higher risk behavior than actually being in athletics. So that's the dilemma right now. And that's really the dilemma of being a student athlete compared to being a professional athlete.
I keep hearing the word liability. And I feel like if I'm a president at the Big Ten or Pac-12, liability played a larger role, a large role in our decision to shut things down. Would you say that is the biggest concern here with presidents as far as the NCAA goes?
Well, look, I've spoken to hundreds of presidents, and they don't use the word liability so much as they use the word the uncertainty and what's feasible and how do we really do the best thing for everyone in this situation. You know, liability has been thrown around a lot, and so I'm sure there are plaintiff's lawyers who are circling, as they always are for any opportunity, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. And the entire country needs to awaken and say, what can each one of us do individually to do the right thing? And so, yeah, liability is one part of it, but I think it goes way, way beyond that.
What do you think of the NFL's plan?
Well, we'll see. You know, so I'm in very regular contact with all of the chief medical officers of professional sports. So the NFL plan is very different, for example, than the NHL and the NBA, which have created a bubble. And we'll see. You know, they moved from 3 times a week testing to essentially daily testing. But again, what are the NFL players going to be doing off the field? And so, you know, the NFL plan in some ways is not too different than Major League Baseball. And so, again, you're interacting with society. Is everyone really taking that honor pledge and doing the right thing? That remains to be seen.
And I wonder if the NCAA, can you bubbleize college basketball? Is that possible?
Well, so there are talks about that, and it depends what you mean. And so as we move into, say, March Madness, the Final Four, I think there have already been conversations about creating a bubble for that. But there's the entire season as well, and there are several games per week. So really, for college basketball, that's where testing is going to be, I think, even more critical in terms of having daily tests or you know, results that you can get right away so that you know who's on and who's off. That's going to be, you know, we have to have the point of care testing if we're going to pull off college basketball.
Doc, thank you for your time and continued good luck with trying to I don't know, lasso this, but I still would love to have the medical community with the ACC, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, and Big 10 and do a town hall where we should be able to hear the information that's being exchanged here. I feel like as parents, as members of the media, I appreciate you coming on. Why can't we pull that off?
Well, you know, I think it's a great question. So what we did on Friday is we actually had two members of the NCAA COVID medical advisory panel speaking live to the entire nation with me, and they went through the deliberative process of how we came to our decision making. You know, the Autonomy 5, the Power 5, we've been meeting every single week. So every conference has their medical advisory panel, but then they came as one. And yeah, I think it's fair game to share the deliberative process on that. But it's what's been amazing is that the scientists really have agreed. But when you have a new situation, you can have scientific data and you have one people that are interpreting it this way and others that are interpreting it that way. And, you know, if we assume good intent, can you still interpret things differently? Well, actually, history tells us that that's the case.
Thank you, Doc. Good luck.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be with you.
It's Dr. Brian Hainline. He's the NCAA chief medical officer. Yeah, everybody says it's a great idea. I just want everybody to get together so we can understand this. And I think that we're owed that. I think parents are owed that. I think the student athlete is owed that. Share the information. Let us understand it. How do we pull this off? And are we letting people actually have all this information? Do we know this information? Like, I don't know if Title IX has anything to do with this. If I say you're going to be able to play football in the fall, do I have to then say to women's sports, hey, you get to play too? How do I say only football gets to play and nobody else gets to play? Like, I have a ton of questions. And I hope that my voice is silenced if we play college football and, you know, but students back on campus already kind of, you know, basically saying, you know what, your rules and regulations aren't going to affect us. We're off campus and you're going to have almost like Big Brother watching. So colleges are going to have a Big Brother system watching to see what happens off campus. And I go back to the story at the University of Miami. I had some students who basically said, hey, we're going viral. We're going to show you. We're holding a party. School calls them up, brings them in, says, you're done. So imagine. You just got to campus. Now you're sent home. And if we can pull it off safely, then great. But why aren't we exchanging? I want to know what the Big Ten is so scared of and what the Pac-12 is scared of and why the SEC and ACC and Big 12 are so confident. I'd just like to know. And I'd like their doctors to explain this. I don't want to hear from a coach, athletic director. I want to hear from the medical community. Let us just understand it. And as Doc said, hey, how you interpret it is different than how I might interpret it. Okay, then at least I understand that. But it feels like SEC, ACC, and Big 12 are, you know, less conscious of this, and the Pac-12 and Big 10 were overly conscious. I mean, it just feels like how do two over here go, nope, and three here go, yep. And we still have a long time to go. I know it doesn't sound like a long time, but it's a long time before we have, you know, the middle of September here with the SEC. SEC announces its schedule coming up tonight. If it happens, I feel bad for the universities, the communities that can't play football if we see that the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 can pull this off. And that's where I just wonder how much conversation, communication was done between the Pac-12, Big 10, with the presidents, chancellors, athletic directors, coaches, players getting a role in this, because a lot of people were taken by surprise last Monday morning when I told you at about 9:10 in the morning East Coast time, there were people in the Big Ten and Pac-12 who had no idea that that was coming, and they're involved in it. It was a light rumor by Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated when he said, I'm here in the Big Ten, their season's in jeopardy. And that got me calling and finding if I could find somebody who I would have information. And that Monday morning when I came in at 8 a.m., there it was, a text that says, Pac-12, Big Ten, they're going to announce Tuesday they're shutting things down. Imagine you're a coach or a player in those conferences. And these schools had practices scheduled that day. That's not right. It's not fair. Because if I knew, there are a lot of people in the process who knew. We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. The Big German does a great job. He's the director of the show, and he has these archival moments that if you're watching on youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show, and it takes, you know, it's a trip down memory lane for us. There are so many times that we'll look up and go, do you remember doing that? And we've had so many moments here, you know, things that we've done, you know, that we put on TV. And we just saw one where McLovin was bench pressing 200 pounds. And we were so excited. It was as if he was, bench pressing 500 pounds or something. And McLovin, it's like he was representing all of this scrawny non-athletes here in this room. And we're like, yes, McLovin. And he did it three times. They're so excited. But, you know, these archival moments that the Big German puts together, they're really well done. And just kind of refresh your memory. You get to see the old man cave there. But it was fun. It was good. By the way, moving to Peacock on Monday. And Mario and I are going to do a tutorial today just to let you know how you can find us on Peacock. So it's not complicated. It's free. And it exposes the show to a wider audience there. We wanted to have a larger audience there to be able to watch this, and we're thrilled to be partnering with Peacock. It's free, and we'll have a tutorial just to let you know how you can put it on your phone or on your tablet and or your tablet. But that'll be coming up on Monday. And what we're trying to do, just so you know, those watching on YouTube, that we'll probably leave the show up on YouTube for a few days just so you can make that transfer over to Peacock. Now, we know it's a little abrupt for you, and you get used to your viewing patterns, listening patterns, and we understand all that. I want it to be a positive for you, and I hope you understand why we're doing it. But we factor in you who are at home watching, those who listen, those who get the podcast, those who watch the re-air. So We try to factor in as many people as possible with these decisions. So thank you for your patience. Yeah, Paul.
I downloaded the Peacock app while you were discussing that. It took me 17 seconds.
Yeah. All right.
Piece of cake.
Well, it might not be a long tutorial that I do with Mario.
Even better.
Alan in Los Angeles joins us. Alan, thanks for holding. What do you have for me?
This is Alan. My best of the week is Lewis Hamilton. He won his 88th Formula One race yesterday in Barcelona. And he's three away from the all-time record, and he's one of the all-time great race car drivers, and he's a black man. And my worst of the week is college football. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, college football, the state of college football. I agree with everything you say, and it's just dreadful, the situation. And I have a football score for you.
Okay.
COVID-19, college football, 0. It's the fourth quarter, and they're out of timeouts.
All right. Well, thank you, Alan. Yeah, Lewis Hamilton has been, that's as impressive a run. Like, you could look at what Tiger did in golf, chasing Sam Snead's all-time record, and here's Lewis Hamilton, who is chasing the all-time Formula One record. Yes, McLovin?
Just the way he described Lewis Hamilton just came off as a little funny.
Yep. Yeah, a little.
I watched a little bit of that this weekend. They were really excited.
Yeah, I can't do it. I try. I think if they went through the streets of a lot of these cities where they hold these races, then I would be a little more interested
like
in that.
Open streets with people and vendors?
Yeah. Pedestrians. knucklehead. Christian in Maine joins us. Hey, Christian.
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
First of all, great. That was a great interview, man. I was worried I was going to be next after it, and it was so heavy. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, please, no, not me. But I want to give you this is a shout out to Todd. Here you go, Todd. This is how you do it. My bets and my bestest of the weekend is Mookie Betts roping balls in L.A. and the Red Sox black eye flushing Fuller, showing that they suck. My Red Sox are horrible.
Yeah, that's that rebuild is not going over well with some of those guys. Like J.D. Martinez is basically like, I didn't sign up for this. Thank you, Chris. Spencer in Wisconsin. Hey, Spence, what do you have for me?
Hey, Dan, just a quick best of the weekend, and then I got a question for you. Best of the weekend is the Brewers taking 3 out of 4 against the Cubs. Ryan Braun batting a career .321 in Wrigley, which makes Cubs fans furious, which in turn makes me extremely happy. And the question is, with your upcoming guests, Bryan Cranston and Reggie Miller this week, whose career would you want?
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Spencer. So Bryan Cranston, who gave us Breaking Bad and quite a few other things. He was on Broadway, where he's been on Broadway for a couple of things there. Or Reggie Miller, who's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if Reggie didn't have a championship. Bryan hasn't won an Academy Award, I don't think.
He's never played in the NBA Finals either.
He has not. Well, Reggie did. Reggie played against the Lakers. They played once in the finals. I might go Bryan Cranston.
Really? I thought you identified yourself as more of an athlete than an actor. I just invited myself.
Yeah, I know. You did. Your microphone's on, Todd.
Oh, no, yeah. It's off now.
Yeah.
It's off?
In the next 20 years, are we talking about Reggie Miller or Bryan Cranston for anything? Does that matter? I would go Bryan Cranston because he's still doing. I mean, Reggie's broadcasting, but Bryan gave us Breaking Bad. See, I'm an actor and a shooter, so I can relate to both of these men. I can. Like shooting, yeah, all right. Yeah, see.
There doesn't seem to be, you know, the one thing that's different about, well, not one thing, but there's not probably a lot of disappointment in Bryan Cranston's career.
Maybe when he's young. Because didn't he have like a Seinfeld episode? And
yeah, you know, yeah, he's the dentist.
Yeah, Tim Watley. But I don't know. It took him about 25 years to become an overnight success. It took a little while. I'd take Bryan Cranston.
It's not a bad career.
Still going on.
Yeah.
Yes, McLovin.
Is the Reggie thing we'll be talking about in 25 years, the Spike Lee, that is going to be around. That is one of the big sports moments.
In New York, it will.
Okay.
But Bryan Cranston did Breaking Bad. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. All right, Todd, what'd you learn today, if anything?
After Lakers, Blazers, and Clippers, Mavs, you're most interested in Rockets, Thunder for the first round matchup.
McLovin.
Inner Banks.
Outer Banks. Seton.
Army's playing football this year.
Yes, they are. Paulie.
Army may play some big guys this year.
What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. You can start online. Network of independent attorneys provide advice when you need it the most. Since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all around support. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.